Welcome to another episode of Routes Through Pokemon. I'm Pokefan Shaylock.
I'm Last Trainer Ruby.
And together we are a father-daughter duo journeying through the mainline series of Pokemon games, the Pokemon anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And this week we are on Route 11 as we journey from Azalea Town to Goldenrod City to try and acquire our third gym badge. But before we get into that, let's catch up on what's been going on in our lives outside of this journey. So I know lately we haven't played any more Scarlet and Violet, and we are still behind and haven't watched any more Pokemon Horizons. The other night we had an opportunity to watch that or another episode of the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon that comes from that movie that came out last year, earlier this year, or something. I don't remember.
I think it was probably last year. It's been kind of a crazy year this year, though, so I don't know. It could have been this year or last year.
Yeah, it has been pretty crazy. So, yeah, we watched another episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles instead.
And I just want to say, I wasn't there to vote against Pokemon Horizons. I don't know what I would have voted.
Yeah, I gave them the choice, and it was almost unanimous of those that were there, which was everybody except Ruby, to watch Turtles. Vavi wanted to watch Pokemon, so he was outvoted, unfortunately. I mean, not that I mind the cartoon of Turtles. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, both are good. That's why I don't know which one I would have chosen.
And I don't care if we watch a little bit more Turtles before we get back to Horizons, because there's only a few more episodes left of it, and then who knows when we'll get a second season of Turtles. Well, we have plenty of Pokemon to go through.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Turtles, there was also a DLC for the TMNT Shredder's Revenge game, which nobody knew was coming, it seems. It was kind of a surprise, and apparently came out, or was leaked a little too early. Because when I followed the links, they were gone, and then I found some people commenting on it, and they're like, oh, yeah, nope, those were taken down. It looks like it was supposed to come. It might even be supposed to be announced today. I think it was announced yesterday, or, like, the leak was yesterday. I don't know what happened, but I'm excited, because it's bringing out at least a couple more playable characters. Not that they're my favorites. I mean, I prefer the Turtles, and Usagi Yojimbo was awesome when they added him. But it's still cool that we'll have Mondo Gecko and Mona Lisa, who have made appearances in different versions of Turtles, like the old cartoon and comics and stuff like that.
I can't quite remember Mona Lisa, but I know Mondo Gecko.
I think she had a very small role in the old cartoon. But I think that also might have been the name of that one character in the 2012 series, where Donnie was in love with April. But when they're in space, they meet those two on that one planet, and Raph kind of falls for the girl.
I think I kind of remember that.
Yeah, I think she might have been named Mona Lisa too, in like because of the character existing before. I might be wrong about that, but anyway, doesn't matter. As far as Pokemon is concerned, though, not a whole lot going on there. Playing some Pokemon Go, the Psychic Spectacular is now over. My wife and I did the timed research, which was fun to do. We tried to get a Beldum, like a Dynamax Beldum, but those are our first 3-star max battles, so we did it together, and it was very slow going, and we lost, so I need some more Dynamax Charmanders and evolve them, and then maybe I can take them out. So that was a little tricky. Apparently we weren't quite ready for that, or at least not just 2 of us. If we had 4, maybe, I don't know.
So she invited me along.
Well, it was after we dropped everybody off before me and your mom went for a walk downtown. On a Wednesday night. So hopefully I'll get one of those eventually. But then I also caught a couple new shinies recently. This morning, I think it was just this morning that I caught a shiny Panpour, which was kind of cool. But just yesterday or the day before, I caught a shiny Koffing, which was actually a lot more exciting. Because I'd been looking for them. They were one of the ones I'd been clicking on a bunch to look for shinies. Because I didn't know what it looked like, for one.
Yeah.
And I kind of like Koffing. And
Koffing.
But I know I could have Googled what it looked like, but I like kind of discovering it sometimes. And I like it. I like the look. My wife thinks it looks sick, but I don't know. It's even. And sick not as in like, oh, that's sick, man, but like, it just looks ill.
Coughing always looks ill.
Right?
And that's it's always got thinking. A cough for some reason.
Yeah, weird. So that's what I got there, but I think that's all I got going on that's worth talking about at the moment. Unless you have anything?
Nope.
All right, so then I guess we will go ahead and jump into talking about our journey from Azalea to Goldenrod City and back to Azalea and back to Goldenrod and then to Union Cave and Route 32 and Goldenrod and back to Violet City and home and back to Goldenrod. We went back and forth a lot. All right, so let's go ahead and jump on in. So, last time in the game, we had just defeated Bugsy, the Bug Gym Leader. And so we were all very excited to just get going. Now we forgot some things right off the bat. So we start heading out of town towards the Ilex Forest.
Mm-hmm.
But before we could get out there, what happened?
We ran into our rival.
That's right, the rival, VFT and Akka.
/ very annoying trainer.
/ red. And let's see, so...
Wait, you said red.
Yeah, Akka is red.
Oh, I thought you were saying like red from the video game. And I'm like, wait, what?
Well, that's why I did it, because red was the rival in the first one, for me.
Yep, mine is blue, because blue is worse.
Blue won and defeated red, so...
Red won and deflated blue.
Deflated blue?
Yes.
So, the rival started with Ghastly in our battles, and then he would go to Bailey for Quilava, depending on who it was. So, like, Quilava for me, Bailey for you, because of the weakness factor. And then finishes off with a Zubat, so he only had the three Pokemon. I know for me, I had Royal, which was my Goldeen, out first, and switched for my Butterfree, because Butterfree could use Confusion to defeat Ghastly, because Ghastly is also poison.
Mm-hmm.
Then I switched back to Goldeen for the... Actually, now I'm trying to think. Did Confusion actually work okay? Because Ghost is good against Psychic, and so Psychic might not be good against Ghost, so it might not even been super effective.
I don't remember what
now
you
I have
did.
To try to fight a Ghastly again and see if Psychic actually does any good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it might be one of those where Psychic or Psychic doesn't care whether it's Ghost or not. It's just like neutral, even though Ghost is good against Psychic. Could be one of those too.
Yeah, it could.
Anyway, so yeah, I switched back to Goldeen for the Quilava because I wanted some water to go against the fire. But then I realized that my Goldeen didn't know any water moves.
Mm-hmm.
It had a flying move and a normal move. So then I switched to Dudette, which is my Geodude. And she got burned, but after missing with the first magnitude, finished off Quilava with the second one.
Because mm-hmm.
that's a ground move, and ground is also good against fire.
Yep.
And then Zubat came out, and there was some confusion thrown at me with the Sonic stuff, but I still ended up winning with a rock throw. Or I did damage with a rock throw, I think. Or let's see, no. Yeah, Zubat came out, confused Dudette, I got one rock throw off, but being confused, it was kind of rough. So then I switched to Butterfree and use Confusion. Do you recall how your battle went at all?
I think I used Peck from Goldeen to destroy Bayleaf.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
No, that's fine.
Much more.
So then we go into Ilex Forest, where we found some person had lost their Farfetch, and they were like the apprentice of the charcoal maker.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would use Farfetch to cut trees down and burn the trees to make charcoal.
But before we found that, we found out something else that really annoyed me specifically. Do you remember what that was?
I don't.
The stupid forest is just like a cave. Wherever you walk, a Pokemon can randomly attack you.
That's true. And I don't think we've had a forest like that before. Because in the other game, Viridian Forest, you just still had to walk through the grass to be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Where that wasn't the case here.
But they're like, let's change it up. Make things different. Let's make Bellsprout good, but forest evil.
I didn't mind too much.
Of course you didn't.
It got more annoying when we went back and forth a lot.
Yeah.
I look forward to having, like, Fly or something, but...
Fly will be so nice. We went through that cave and forest so many times.
We really, really did. But it was good for leveling up, especially when we got that new Pokemon a little later.
I really don't care. I wish we never had to go through there ever again.
I think for me, it isn't so bad because
It's so tedious.
It is. But I think for me, at least as a kid, I mean, it's a little more annoying for me as an adult because my time is a little more constrained, I feel like. But when I was a kid, I played through a lot of, like, JRPGs, like Japanese role-playing games, which the common factor, like, especially the Final Fantasy series, which I loved. When you're on the world map or you're in any kind of place that isn't, like, a town, basically, there's going to be random battles. You don't see them on the map, right? They just... you just end up in a random battle constantly, over and over again, right?
Okay.
So, and that's just how the game works. And you level up, so you get stronger, so that they're easier, and you can fight the bosses later as you get further on and stuff.
But there's
zombies. And that's kind of the same thing here, is just all these random things. So you can catch, and here you get to actually catch some new Pokemon, which is kind of nice. And
but they're so tedious.
Yeah, no, they are kind of tedious. I'm with you. It's kind of nice in Scarlet and Violet where you can kind of just see them, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Except for when they just kind of like take a while to load and load right on top of you.
Yeah. That's the grass I like in this game.
Yeah.
Because then you can expect to be hit. I mean, I get, because like Scarlet and Violet, then you can see the Pokemon and purposely run into it, and it's a little different in this game, but still.
Yeah. I hear your complaint, and I would get frustrated sometimes as a kid, but it was just kind of par for the course to play the games I wanted to play, so. All right, so, yes, we get attacked, we can find new Pokemon, but in the process, we also have to go find this Farfetch'd that ran off, because we can't go north in the forest, because there's one of those cuttable trees in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were looking for Farfetch'd, you reminded me that we wanted to fight or battle every time we battled our rival. And I'd forgotten. I'm like, well, let's finish finding Farfetch'd first. That was a lot of F words in a row. That was really funny. Sorry, I didn't even do that on purpose. And then once we got that done, we would go back to the Pokemon Center and heal up, choose our Pokemon, and battle.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And finding Farfetch'd was kind of fun because, like, we went up and he ran away the first time we found him, which wasn't, it didn't take long to catch up to where he was. But then he ended up in kind of like a crossroads area where it looked like we could go up and around. And I'm like, I bet we're supposed to do that so that he doesn't, like, run us in circles.
I was pretty sure you were right.
Right. So I went that way, but you wanted to see what would happen if you did it the other way?
I was pretty sure it'd be the same, but you gotta see what happens.
Well, actually, it turned out not quite what I thought might happen. So, like, when I went up behind it, it drove him back towards the person, so I only had to touch him one more time, and then I got there, right? But for you, he went up the long way around, and there was this other little path that we could have gone down. When I went to go around to go up behind Farfetch'd, there was another path to the south that went in kind of a loop.
Okay.
And when you chased him up and over, he went down that loop, and then he went over, and I thought maybe he was just going to keep going up and around, so you would have to go back around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it was going to be a thing where you have to go around, and you learn your lesson after the first time kind of thing. But they didn't make that happen. They were nicer, and they just made him go down then.
Yeah.
Which is good, because it would be very irritating the other way. Mm-hmm. But I thought that might be what they would do, because games do that sometimes.
Yeah, I was prepared to take the long way, but I wanted to experiment.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we just found out it definitely was just a really long way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, then we decided to go back and battle.
I demolished you in one.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, what really happened is I demolished you pretty easily.
You have an advantage.
Well, I mean, my starter has the advantage against your starter, for sure.
Yes. Plus, grass. We have got nothing against grass yet.
Not completely true. You had Peck.
On which Pokemon?
A water Pokemon. But, but we also have other flying Pokemon that you probably could have trained up to do so. Because we have Hoot Hoot, and I think we have Spearow.
Stupid Spearow. I hate Spearow.
Yeah, you did learn to hate Spearow this arc, didn't you? So, anyway. Back at the Pokemon Center, we switch out Pokemon and decide to do our battle. And it was fun, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like you had a good time, even though you were kind of locked into a spot where there was really no way
out. That was a little irritating. I'm like, there's literally nothing I could do to win.
And I intentionally, even if it meant me losing, I intentionally chose my level 8 Bellsprout to be the Pokemon that starts out just to have Bellsprout right in your face right at the beginning.
And I was, like, a smidgen sour, but then
it turned out you also brought your level 14 Bellsprout to the battle.
Yeah.
Just to try to wrap me.
I did do that a little bit.
So, yeah, Freedom was my starting one. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure he didn't survive, but that's okay. But then we had like a really fun cycle of you pulling out Bellsprout and me pulling out my Ghastly Spook, me using Hypnosis. So you pull out your Geodude, so he's the one who falls asleep instead. And then you tried your Onix at one point, too, but he also got zonked out.
Yeah, that was such a fun cycle.
But then it ended up being like you just keep bringing out Geodude because he couldn't fall asleep again. So it was just a wasted move on my part if I Hypnosis again. So we kept like going back and forth like that.
There was nothing I could do to win this battle as soon as you brought Bailey.
And you did bring, not only did your starter was weak to my starter, but you also brought an Onix and a Geodude to this fight. So, like, Bayleaf...
They were my highest
level. ...was taking out Croconaw, along with Onix and
There wasn't
Onix
a lot I
Geodude.
Could do.
That's true.
I was at a pretty big disadvantage.
Well, and if you leveled up different Pokemon, that would have been different, though. But you also purposely leveled up the rock Pokemon for, like, the bug gym and stuff like that. Which makes sense. So maybe you'll have a better shot in the future.
We'll move that. Growl.
So... Yeah, I did win that fight, and it was a good time, overall.
I thought you were going to just say it was a good time because you won the fight, and I was like, yes, yes.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it because I won. If I hadn't won, then it would have sucked, and we will never do it again. Just kidding.
Well, we are never doing it again because I'm the one who lost.
I mean, honestly, I get your frustration. I had a battle with Rosella. I think we talked about it last time, and in Sword and Shield, and I just couldn't do anything. I ended up winning, but only because she decided to, like, give me a chance, basically. So I wouldn't call it real winning.
That's typical. Roselle would definitely.
Yeah, she just wanted to be fun.
Could have given me a chance.
I could have, but I don't do that. I'm not Rosella. In Silver, I ran into a lot of Weedle and Kakuna while we were in Ilex Forest, while you ran into Caterpie and Metapod, making them game separate, just like we found earlier on one of the routes as well. But it was just like Red and Blue in Viridian Forest. One of us had Kakuna and stuff, and I think the other one had the others, I think.
Yeah. Something like that.
And we found other Pokemon in there, too. Especially when we got the Headbutt TM. So we could start knocking trees down. Well, knocking things out of trees, I guess. And we both found an Execute right away. But then we also managed to get a Pineco.
To my delightful surprise.
Yeah. Which one of us had trouble getting Pineco? Because it kept exploding.
Probably you. Mine was nice. Was a nice
one. I'm pretty sure I had an explosion right off the bat. Oh, no. The first one that was found in the game was on your game, and it exploded right in your face.
I doubt it.
I wrote that note here.
I think you're making things up.
Nope.
Yep.
Then after we finished Ilex Forest, we found some grass up there on that route between Ilex and Goldenrod City. And I ran into an Abra right away, but I wasn't able to get it and kept running into it and kept running into it, trying to find it, and not having much luck. And it was here... While we were catching these, because we also got, like, Drowsy and Ditto here, which was fun. But it was during this time that I think our Ghastlies learned Mean Look.
Yours learned Mean Look at this point?
By at least this point, but I ended up learning even more and choosing to get rid of Mean Look, not knowing what it did. But sometime during this route, your Ghastly learned Mean Look, and you actually tried it and found out what it did. And I was really devastated that I got rid of mine, so it was really hard for me to get Ebra, where it was not as hard for you.
Because Mean Look makes it so the Pokemon can't run away from you.
Yep. Also, this route had the daycare center.
Yes.
Which has two people in it, so you can do some breeding, which I started doing in Crystal already. But before we even learned all the Mean Look stuff, we got some phone calls. I got one from, like, Anthony, the hiker, on Route 33, and you got somebody from Route 32, and then, like, Joey called, and the fisher guy, Ralph the fisherman, called, and so that's part of the reason we were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it was the first time back, I think, that I'm like, wait a second, I haven't talked to Kurt. Or, I think what I did was I grabbed an apricorn from his tree again, because it was a new day, and I brought it into him, and he's like, oh, here's your ball, and I'm like, right. And then I learned that the fastball supposed to be good at catching things that get away real quick, like teleporting.
Yep.
And so I ended up with a couple of those because we took a couple days going back and forth, like playing, and used them on my Abras, and it still didn't work.
I used one on my Abra before I learned Mean Look.
And then I've since learned that those Pokeballs are glitched and don't actually work the way they're supposed to, so it was basically just throwing a regular Pokeball.
At least they're free.
Yeah, we get free Pokeballs at least.
I remember when we were looking, though, I had my, like, 2-year-old little brother, and he was sitting in my lap while we were playing, and he wanted to play, so I gave it to him, and he's really fast at learning things, and so he kept making little guy go around in grass, and then eventually he was fighting my Pokemon for me. And then every time it was a Pokemon I needed to try and catch, I would take it from him and he'd get real mad at me.
Yeah. I like that we're getting him involved already. Someday he'll be a big Pokemon fan. Then, because we had so many different people calling us for battles and stuff that were like further back, we just decided to go all the way back and visit Mom and take all our money back so we could buy Pokeballs so we could keep catching them.
Because she kept wasting it on random things that we didn't even need.
I think she only did it once so far, but I didn't want it to happen again.
I do not like my
mom. Right? And so, in the game.
Yes.
But then on the way back to our mom, we went on different days when we were playing, and so I ran into somebody, because I got there, like, before we finished, and then we started up again.
Going ahead of me when I wanted you to wait for me, but you're like, it's fine. Not true. It's fine. We're doing the same thing. It's okay.
You didn't even say anything, because we were doing the same thing. For that spot, you did not say nothing.
I definitely did, especially when you found the thing.
Okay. Anyway, I ran into a lady that must not be there all the time. I don't know. And she gave me a ribbon for Pokemon. I forget what it does, but it's another held item.
And I was saying how he had to wait for me, and he didn't. He's like, it's fine. Everything will just happen the same way. Then I come up there. That's not, no pink ribbon lady for me.
You're exaggerating.
Do not lie!
Okay. Anyway, back at the route between Ilex Forest and Goldenrod City, there was also trainers out there. And one girl had a Bulbasaur.
Yeah, I remember that.
And now it makes me wonder if we can... I don't even know if we can get the starters from the first game.
It's a little weird.
Which makes me... Well, actually, what we can do is when we wouldn't get the starters trading, we'd get the final evolutions. So we wouldn't mark them, right? But we can breed them. I bet you. We'll get the starter from our... Like, the evolved starter from Red, Blue, and Yellow. And then we'll breed them in Gold and Silver so that we can get the full roster. That's what we need to do. So that's what I want to breed once we can. We can't even been able to trade yet.
Is there breeding in Scarlet and Violet?
I think there's breeding in every single game ever since
this
one. And Scarlet and Violet, it's weird. You have picnics. And so, and then if you have certain Pokemon of it, sometimes an egg might appear in your basket, mysteriously.
So the Pokemon are...
Probably doing stuff while you're picnicking, I guess. I don't know.
In our basket with the food?
Well, no, they're probably not doing that in the basket. Most of them wouldn't even fit in the basket. You weirdo. I think. I haven't done it. I just...
So only the mummy goes in.
Sure.
And
lays... Because they can't just lay an egg. Like, you have to be in it to lay an egg in it, apparently. What?
Well, you said they lay an egg in the basket.
I said an egg appears in the basket. I did not say they lay it in the basket. Maybe they lay it and bring it to us. Maybe they don't even do anything, and they're stealing other Pokemon's eggs. I don't know!
And conveniently get their lower evolution?
Sure. Just like the anime and it's all its conveniences. Anyway, but among the trainers, there was a new fun one. Well, that's why I used it for my intro, was the Pokefan, because he had a kid with him dressed up in a costume, which I thought was a lot of fun.
And it was a Pikachu costume, and I think it's funny because it looked like, I guess, dad and son, and it had a... And we have, one of my little brothers likes to dress up like Pikachu all the time.
Yeah, so that was
and
perfect.
It was a little boy now.
So I had to choose that one. And on that note, since we met other trainers this time, out of the new trainers that we met, Pokefan is definitely my favorite. But there was also Picnicker, Super Nerd, Pokemaniac, Lass, Beauty, and Camper. Which one is your favorite?
They all suck. Well, I also thought the Pokefan was really cool, but, gotta change it up.
You don't have to. We can agree.
Let's go with the Picnicker.
Sure. Picnicker sounds good.
Where Pokemon lay eggs in the basket.
Oh, and then in Crystal, I was going through Ilex Forest. I was playing Crystal at night, though, and I ran into Oddish out in Ilex. And the Pokedex entries really kind of highlight this, too, but basically, Oddish liked to come out at night.
Yep.
Which wasn't a thing in Red and Blue because there was no night or day in that one. And I'd also found a few other Pokemon, some that we couldn't get in our games, but definitely from like headbutting trees and other areas and fishing in certain areas because apparently there's more than just Magikarp we could get. So I did all that on my way to the gym. Well, after the gym, since we were still waiting for Crystal and we weren't ready to record yet, in Gold and Silver, we decided to go back and find some of these. So we went fishing on the route with the daycare center, which gave Krabby, which it was going to be mostly Magikarp, of course, because we still only have the old rod.
Sure.
But Krabby could show up. But the first thing that... Well, I found like 5 Magikarp, and then I found my Krabby. But what happened to you?
I don't know. I found a few...
You fished once, caught a Krabby, and moved on.
I was trying to make things up. Jeez.
I know you were. So then, you go ahead and go into the Ilex Forest and go fish in that pond, and you got a couple of no bites. Or one no bite. Was it just one?
I think it was like 3.
Okay, 3 no
Come
bites.
Come on, 3 no bites.
3 no bites, and then what did you catch?
My bad luck.
And then what came up right after that? The first Pokemon you saw.
Another crappy.
Poliwag! Poliwag! Right off the bat. And I am sure I defeated at least 15 Magikarp before I ever...
15? How long? No, you probably did like 50.
Oh, I'm just saying at least. I don't know.
No, it was probably more like at least 50. I got like 100.
I got plenty of no bites, but I caught a ton of Magikarp and beat them over and over again in the first section of the Ilex Forest by the water near Route 34 or whatever it is. So then I decided to go around finding whatever Pokemon in Ilex Forest as I go and go down to the other part of the water on the other side of it. And fish there forever. And still a bunch of Magikarp. And finally found my Poliwag.
But believe it or not, I have had out of all the Pokemon we were running around and catching, I had the most bad luck at one point.
True. And there was some... We made a bad judgment call, which helped me catch up to you. Because you went off to go to Route 33, but apparently the trees... Like, there's a lot of trees on... not a lot, but there's a handful of trees on Route 33. So we thought... But a chunk of those that seems like it's part of the route are actually part of Azalea Town. So we had to go to the other only two trees in there. And as soon as you did...
You were sabotaging me before we went to those trees, intentionally making...
I did not do it intentionally.
Because I was like, are you sure? And you're like, yeah, sure, sure.
Well, it seemed logical, right?
No.
Okay. I mean, at least I said get away from those Slowpoke Well ones, because I thought, well, that seems iffy. But the other ones were down on the... stairs and part of the same straight path. It seemed
sabotage.
Anyway, so we go over there and
we start shaking the two trees,
and as soon as you shake one, you find
a palm.
I get Spearow and give up, and we go through Union Cave to go to Route 32.
We should have started with that because there were a lot more Apalm over there,
and there's just a lot more trees over there.
Yes, I hate it over there. Hate it.
Yeah, that one. I found Heracross sooner than you did.
Much sooner?
Yeah, much sooner. It wasn't like the first thing I shook, though.
I think I shook like 200 times.
I would believe that, actually.
Because there were a lot of nothing, and my Geodude is like 20 of two attacks, and then like one of the other. I used all the attacks.
You know what?
And eventually I like self-destructed myself because I'm like, that's the only attack I have left.
You know what, though? All of this battling... of Magikarp and Spearow and a couple more Magikarp when I got my tentacle on Route 32. I did manage to evolve my Ghastly into Haunter.
I didn't get to evolve my Ghastly and I fought more.
Well, you might not have used Ghastly in front as often as I did.
That's very true because I stopped using Ghastly so often.
Yeah.
And one of the annoying things about these trees is there's 50% Spearow and then 20% Apalm, 20%, no, 30%. Heracross, 20% Spearow or Apalm. And then there was like an 80% chance of Spearow on another tree and 20% Apalm.
Apparently, you changed your accent.
20% Apalm. And you don't know which tree is which, and it's so incredibly frustrating. So eventually I went and fished for Tentacool. Which took
Tentacool.
Me- Tentacool? You're being a Tentacruel.
Okay.
And I fished a little while, and then I went... And then I go, and the first tree I shake again is a Heracross. So amazing. I'm so happy. I scream. I'm so happy. He runs away. But luckily, immediately when I shake that same tree, because it's obviously a Heracross tree, I find him right back. So
that was good.
Yeah, and I caught him. I mean, looked him.
Yeah, and then you also stayed around to get another Mareep so that it could be traded to Crystal, because Crystal couldn't find him there. And Crystal got us some Phanpy and some other things, and hatched you an Igglybuff.
Yeah, and he got me a Growlithe. Now
yeah, I got both of us Growlithe.
I'm going to level it up and defeat you next time we battle.
Sounds good. I do have some water Pokemon. I should probably level up then.
Come on! I'm always at a disadvantage.
Or use my Geodude's magnitude ability, because it's a ground move.
I was like, but that won't defeat my water.
Oh, speaking of Growlithe, because that patch of grass doesn't exist in Gold and Silver, so we couldn't get it ourselves. We need Crystal to do it for us. But what does Growlithe like to do when you're trying to catch it?
Roar.
Yeah, so Mean Look doesn't work, because it just stops them from running away. Not from them making you run away.
You got Mean Look at the wrong time.
But we also, on Route 32, after the docks area, if you keep going, one of the times we went there, there was a tree to cut, so we cut it, and there was a guy up there that gave us a TM for Roar, so we can teach other ones Roar. I don't remember where it is, but we got another TM somewhere. I'm trying to remember where that was. But it gave us the move Nightmare that we could teach. And it basically, it hurts Pokemon that have been falling asleep or whatever. So it seems like a perfect match for like our Ghastly, because we like to use Hypnosis, put him to sleep. And I almost did it. I almost tied it to my Ghastly. But then I'm like, ooh, but how cool is the idea of Butterfree knowing Nightmare? Because I saw that Butterfree could learn it. And I'm like, my Butterfree's going to be... have because it can also... a sleep powder, so it can put things to sleep, too.
I think I'm just going to teach it to my Ghastly.
That probably makes the most sense. But I'm excited to have Nightmare on my Butterfree. Because I think it's just a cool idea. So anyway.
Who would?
With all this back and forth, eventually, all three of our games, we did get to explore Goldenrod City.
Yeah.
We did some of it early on with Golden Silver. Crystal came later, but eventually we all did it. I even went in there real quick with Crystal because I learned in Gold and Silver that there's the bike shop. And so I ran in there with Crystal to get the bike shop so I could ride the bikes, but I didn't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because it made traveling back and forth through the Ilex Forest and everything faster.
A little bit, Union Cave, yes.
All that stuff. So that was nice. And yeah, in this one, the bike shop, instead of him needing a voucher or whatever, he's just like, here, borrow this bike so it can advertise to other people that bikes are great. And then later on he called us and he's like, oh, business is booming, thank you. As a thank you, keep the bike. So we have our bikes.
He is a sweet man.
Yep. But in Goldenrod City, there was a big building. Basically, Goldenrod is kind of our new Celadon City, which was where the fourth gym was.
Mm-hmm.
But here we have another big, another big department store building with all the shops in it.
Yes. Ooh, and I explored that before you.
Yeah, you got there before I did. Because in the basement...
And when I was exploring before you, I accidentally went down to the basement because I thought that was the normal floor. Because I was just trying to buy Pokeballs and quickly leave so that we could explore it together.
Mm.
But I went down to the bottom floor and I was like, oh, wrong floor. So then I went back up to the normal floor. That's important.
Right. And I went to the basement and came back up. And when we had talked to people down there, they're like, well, we don't work when people are watching us, things like that. Which I didn't really think anything about.
And... when we were exploring down there, I couldn't get a Pokeball that you could get, and because a couple of the walls were moved weird, and we're like, that's odd.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's try leaving and go back again. So that's what we did.
And, yeah, every time we did, they moved something. Like, it was three different paths you could take, basically, to get some Pokeballs. However, interestingly enough, in Crystal, I didn't find any Pokeballs down there.
That's unlucky.
Yeah, I don't think they were there. Unless I did it and forgot about it and tried to do it a second time. I don't know. I didn't find them down there anyway.
But yeah, then I was like, wait, they don't work when people are watching. So we just have to leave and then they'll move things.
Yep. And then we go up further in there and there's all of the kinds of shops, right? Like I think there's a TM shop or something and all the stuff, right? But we wanted Pokeballs. But there's a guy on one of the floors that wanted to trade.
Yeah.
So we had to catch a second Drowsy because then he would give us Machop.
Oh, so difficult. Drowsy didn't show up at all.
Yeah, no, we found Drowsy all the time. So that was easy enough. And then, we did this early enough on that with our back and forth, I was leveling up Machop a decent amount too. So I'm like, sweet, a fighting Pokemon. That
I
might
was
be useful.
Machop a little bit.
Good. He was good against fighting the Geodudes and Onix and Union Cave and all that stuff on our back and forth. So.
Yep.
But in Crystal, the guy's still there. He still gives you a Machop, but he wants an Abra. So I had to catch two Abra, which was loads of fun trying to find them. Also, in Crystal, on that route where we found Abra, Drowsy, and Ditto, I think I found all those still, but I also found Snubbull and Jigglypuff, which I then breeded Jigglypuff with a Ditto to get the egg to hatch Jigglypuff for you.
But, for me? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I still need another one for gold, or for silver. But...
no, you need to get Cleffa for me first, and then you can get Jigglypuff.
I would have to level up Cleffa into Clefairy first, because you can't breed the baby Pokemon, I don't think.
Why not?
Because that was another thing. You get a free egg in Crystal, and supposedly it's just random which of the baby Pokemon you get, and I got a Cleffa out of it.
Yep.
So, then there's also the Game Corner here, just like in Celadon City, but without a Team Rocket headquarters underneath, it seems. And we needed a coin case again, which we didn't have right away, so we explored some more of the town. And we found a house.
One of the guys there said that he was so mad that he threw his coin case.
Somewhere, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But on our way to look around, we found a house that when we talked to the dad and sister, or girl there,
mm-hmm.
turns out that it's Bill's family.
Yep.
And they mentioned he's in another town somewhere. But it was just kind of cool that we found, like, where Bill comes from, despite that we meet him at the Sea Cottage in Kanto.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if we meet Bill again. And hopefully then we'll have, like, the access to the other trading stuff so that we can trade Pokemon with
Then Red, I can Blue get a bunch of strong Pokemon.
That won't listen to you.
It doesn't matter.
And then, after there, we found an entrance into the underground, which there were some trainers to battle, which was fun. But we also found the coin case down there. Mm-hmm. And then we also found one trainer that talked about grooming his Pokemon, yeah. Made them like him more. And that's because happiness levels are actually a thing in this game, too, unlike Red and Blue.
He was just a raccoon.
So it's another mechanic, because you need happiness to evolve certain Pokemon. I think Chansey's one of them.
And I'm gonna guess that the Heartamon, maybe it's Espeon, but Espeon might need the same thing. The heart one that's so happy. You need hearts to evolve it in Pokemon Go.
That's Sylveon.
No, that it wasn't Espeon.
Sylveon's fair. But you do need friendliness levels in this for Espeon and Umbreon too, I believe, for both of them.
Really?
That's yep. Odd. And then they evolved into one or the other, depending on if it's day or night. But we don't even have an Eevee yet, so it doesn't matter.
And my thought was, we can breed the Eevee or Eevee evolutions, and then we can get more than one Eevee.
This is true.
Because they might only let us have one Eevee again, which was so cool.
I'm pretty sure that's the case again.
But we'll just breed them, and then they'll have babies.
Yeah. And then there was also a barber shop type thing for the Pokemon down there. Like, the guy mentioned it, but then, like, a few spaces later, it was like, hey, you want to give your Pokemon a haircut?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, thank you. I'm good. Thanks. Bye.
Psyduck getting a haircut. Sees those three hands stick up, just, like, trimming them. I don't know. It would be funny.
That is funny. So then we get back. Oh, there's a locked door down there, too. And there was also, like, a blocked area in that basement level that we couldn't get through. So there's a couple things we can't do yet in Goldenrod.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get out of there, and it pops us up near the Pokemon Name Raider, so where we can probably change Pokemon names, which is actually, it's kind of nice that they localize a lot of these things, because in the other one, that was all the way in Lavender Town with a lot of things at Celadon City, so spread out. Not that far, but spread out. And then there's also, like, train track things, and a guy in the station said it wasn't running today, whatever is supposed to go through there, which was interesting.
Yeah.
And then we found the radio tower, which had a Team Rocket member hanging out outside, which was interesting. But inside the radio tower, there was a couple fun things to do.
Mm-hmm.
There was a thing that talked about random numbers. I'm pretty sure it was, like, based off trainer numbers or something.
I was pretty sure it was phone numbers, but we'll see.
But I think it's trainer numbers, because I think, because we didn't get, like, I didn't get anything from it, right? None of my Pokemon matched, they said.
They said I didn't have the correct numbers.
Yeah, none of mine had the right numbers. But in Crystal, I showed up, and my last three digits matched one, so I got, like, second place prize or something. It was my Machop that I traded for, they said. They mentioned specifically my Machop, so I think it has to do with the Pokemon and the trainer number or something like that. But I could be wrong, but that's what I thought I read when I was playing. But what I got for my prize was an EXP share.
Which I need.
But it works different. It's not like the EXP all.
I know, but it doesn't even matter because I am so exhausted switching out Pokemon because the tedious battles that I'm constantly running into are hard enough, and now I need to switch them out to level.
It is. I do like the concept of the EXP share quite a bit because it, like, the EXP all was okay, but it was flawed and it spread it so thin to everybody. Whereas, like, the EXP share, you give it to the Pokemon that you would normally probably put in the front to level up, but where you have to switch them out constantly. But now, he just gets half the experience when he sits in the back.
And now you're probably going to do something where you're, like, have an EXP share on one, and then the other one you're going to switch out in front, and so you can level up two really good. I'm just going to use the EXP share.
I don't know if I'll do that, actually, because I think it messes with the splitting of things and causes me to get less overall experience, actually. I think. Or potentially. So I probably will just, like, the one I would want to switch out, I'll just keep it. Now, I will switch out Pokemon sometimes just because it's like, oh, I have this Pokemon in front, but this Pokemon is going to be weak to this other Pokemon I have in my group, so well, I'm going to switch.
You're
going to
be smart.
Right. But then there's a quiz thing, and I almost think that my Crystal game had different questions.
You, like, lost when we played, like, 5 times, and I won right.
By that, she means I won right away, and she got a question wrong, so she had to do it one more time.
That's not what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
You're interpreting.
I'm telling what actually happened, so either
you are not.
Either you did mean that or you're lying.
You're lying.
Anyway.
Okay, well then where's your proof?
I don't need the proof, except for you being ridiculous in your comments. I think people have learned who you are by this point and know that they can trust me.
Guys, do you trust me or him?
Go ahead and comment on the videos and audios, wherever you find it. Go ahead, weigh in. Is Ruby or Shaylock more trustworthy on who actually finished the quiz and who had to retry and how many times? What was our prize for it once we did it?
A portable radio?
We got to add a radio to our Poke gear.
Yeah, we did.
And I checked out the radio. I didn't check it out in our game when we got it. But in Crystal I did, because after we did that on the next floor, and I don't remember this in Gold and Silver at all, so I don't know if it exists, but in the Crystal game, they gave me some kind of blue card key item and said that I would have to listen to the password channel and then give them the password later and I'd get points or something, which they put on my card or whatever. I don't know. I'm not really sure. So then I looked for the password channel, but I couldn't find it. So I don't know. Maybe it's not always airing. Maybe it's only airing at certain times. I have no idea. So I'll have to look at that later. But then on the other side of the room, there was more stairs, more places to go, but we couldn't go because the guy was blocking it. And there was some he did, or somebody else said that the new owner was kind of weird. So yeah, there's something shady going on at the thing, and it seems like maybe Team Rocket's messing around. Like maybe the new owner's Team Rocket or something.
Rock in trouble.
But we couldn't do anything there yet. So, oh, another reason we had to backtrack is when we went north to leave Goldenrod City, we weren't actually going to leave, but we just wanted to explore that building.
I did. And then you came because of what happened.
Well, whatever. We went into that building that leaves us, and there was a guy there that gave us, well, he wanted us to deliver us a message to the guy that falls asleep next to a tree, and we knew who that was.
Yeah, and then you misread the rest of it, and so then we had to go all the way down and all the way back.
You're lying again.
Okay, this time I am. But last time I wasn't.
That's, oh my gosh. Anyway, so she read it, and I just followed suit and did, like, I just clicked through it this time. Normally I read a lot of things, but she already did it.
I'm used to you reading it, so I don't really read it. I just read the important parts. And so
we got this message to deliver, so we go and deliver it, only nothing happened when we talked to the guy. We're like, what the heck? And then we realized we never actually did get it, because he says, oh, you don't have room for the Pokemon, because he gives us a Spearow to carry the message. And then we deliver the Spearow with the message, which just gives us some clue about Dark Cave that we can't do anything with right now anyway. And so we backtracked for no reason and had to go all the way back again.
Thanks.
And this all would have been so much easier if we just waited to do this until after we decided to finally get through that pseudo-woodo tree that's up there. We'll get there, though. Anyway, and I think that's everything besides the gym now, right?
No, you're missing, like, everything.
Okay. So then the gym is run by the gym leader, Whitney. And it turns out...
Crybaby Whitney.
And it turns out that we got the Machop for a good reason, because it's a normal-type gym. So I definitely wanted my rock Pokemon, because normal attacks are weak to rock. And I wanted my fighting Pokemon, because fighting-type attacks are good against normal. And it worked out fantastically.
Mm-hmm.
It actually turned out to be a really easy gym to get through. Felt more like back in line with some of the gyms in Red and Blue, whereas like the first, well, Bugsy wasn't too bad, I guess, but it was a little more crazy. And the flying gym was a pain in the butt just because I had a weak Pokemon to their attacks, and then the ones that I had that weren't weak to it also were weak to a special attack.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was really simple, though. So yeah, we battle our way through. We took different routes. I took the one that ended in a dead end because she moves to block your path, but then after you beat her and she's reset, you can just walk through there. So it becomes a shortcut.
I thought with my luck, with how I'm always like, let's just see what happens, that I would get the dead end route. But no, I took the right route.
It doesn't matter because we want to fight all of them anyway. So It wasn't like a big deal. So I just did that and I went around the other way. Yeah, I think we both left once to recover before we got back and finished everything. But yeah, then we fight Whitney, and she has a Miltank, so that's the first time we saw one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But then she, like, has a whole crying fit because we won.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a little bit to realize that she didn't give us a TM or our badge. And I'm like, what the heck? I tried talking to her a couple times. I tried talking to the lady. Oh, the lady comes and talks to us right away. She's like, oh yeah, you beat her. It's going to take her a little bit to calm down, you know. I don't even think she says come back later. That it's just that it'll take time for her to calm down. So I'm like,
it's another thing we have to figure out ourselves.
So we left, went to the Poke Center, recovered from the battle, and then we came back, and then she was settled down enough. and not being a whiny butt anymore to finally she's give us so our TM that I don't remember what it does. Maybe that's where we got Nightmare. I don't remember. And what?
You used Nightmare with your Butterfree?
I didn't use Nightmare at all.
Before we fought.
Oh, that's possible. I don't remember what she gave us, is all I'm saying.
I could be wrong.
Anyway, she gave us a TM for something. But then she... What was the badge called? Do you remember? This is the Hive Badge at Bugsy.
Zephyr Badge.
No, Zephyr Badge is the Flying Badge. I was going to say that. Zephyr, and then Hive, and then the Mundane Badge. I don't know. I don't remember what it is.
I feel like it's just like a meh badge, because normal is meh. You know what I mean? Well, it's not actually meh, but
anyway, we got our badge. We won. Goldenrod City's done. Third gym's done. And now we get to... Oh, and there's a lot of talk about the Sudowoodo and getting it wet, and we tried to buy water from a vending machine.
And go and try
and then splash it, but just throw water at it, but it just, we didn't, like, it didn't give us an option to do anything. So I'm not sure what we have to do there, but I know it's coming up soon. Mm-hmm. Especially since we're coming around the other side, so it's gonna give us that shortcut then. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to seeing what's lying ahead of us, because I really don't know much about this game. At least compared to what I knew about Red and Blue, which wasn't like I didn't know everything about them, but
he just didn't like all my complaining about going from gym to gym, and he knew what it was, and I had no clue, so he wouldn't even tell me anything. So now he's just making things up and making lies.
No, I don't know what we're dealing with.
He's lying.
But I think that's it, besides getting through our Pokedexes and letting you know what we have new and everything and the names. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into our Pokedex entries.
Who's that Pokemon?
Croconaw, Big Jaw, number 159. If it loses a fang, a new one grows back in its place. There are always 48 fangs lining its mouth.
It opens its huge jaws wide when attacking. If it loses any fangs while biting, they grow back in. In Crystal, it says... The tips of its fangs are slanted backwards. Once those fangs clamp down, the prey has no hope of escape.
Kind
of
like that shark, huh?
Yeah, I think there's a shark that does that, or maybe all sharks do that. I don't know.
No, I think there's a specific one that does that.
Whatever. Spearow, tiny bird, number 21. Very protective of its territory, it flaps its short wings busily to dart around at high speed.
Spearow, the worst Pokemon ever!
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because way back in our first episode, we were talking about Spearow, because it was one of the first ones we caught, and I had us, like, give our favorite Pokemon, and that wasn't our starters, and you chose Butterfree, which is the one I was going to choose, so to be different and, like, choose a different one then, so under Butterfree then, my next choice was Spearow. I'm like, this seems kind of cool, and you agreed.
Not anymore.
Not after all those trees.
It flaps its short wings to flush out insects from tall grass. It then plucks them with its stubby beak.
In Crystal, it says, to protect its territory, it flies around, ceaselessly making high-pitched cries.
I bet no one likes those high-pitched cries, so no one likes Spearow because everyone hates Spearow.
Just because you hate Spearow.
No, everyone does because those high-pitched cries must not be very nice. I mean, how would you like it if the bird was going around screeching?
Honestly, you would think that you would like Spearow because flying is good against grass. And Bellsprout was grass.
Don't attack Bellsprout. That's
Oh, I'm so glad that Bellsprout's on your good list now. Too bad for Spearow.
Too bad for Spearow? Too bad for me. I had to fight about a bajillion kajillion. Sentret, Scout, number 161. A very cautious Pokemon, it raises itself up using its tail to get a better view of its surroundings.
It stands on its tail so it can see a long way. If it spots an enemy, it cries loudly to warn its kind. In Crystal, it says, when acting as a lookout, it warns others of danger by screeching and hitting the ground with its tail.
This screeching is to protect people. The other one is to rip their eardrums out.
What I think is interesting is the forests and stuff around Johto's got to be real noisy.
Also, it's not usually a forest. It's more like a woods. Lost in the woods.
You really can't help yourself.
You brought it up, but you should have known. You really should have. It was kind of on you. Paris, Mushroom, number 46. It is doused with mushroom spores when it is born. As its body grows, mushrooms sprout from its back.
As its body grows large, oriental mushrooms named Tochukaso start sprouting out of its back. In Crystal, it says, "The Tochukaso growing on this Pokemon's back orders it to extract juice from tree trunks." Poliwag, Tadpole, number 60. The direction of its belly spiral differs by area. The equator is thought to have an effect on this.
Because it is inept at walking on its newly grown legs, it always swims around in water.
In Crystal, it says, "The swirl on its belly is its insides showing through the skin. It looks clearer after it eats."
That's disgusting. And it also doesn't make very much sense.
Certainly makes you have a different opinion of Poliwag after that.
Goldine, Goldfish. Number 118. Its dorsal, pectoral, and tail fins wave elegantly in water. That is why it is known as the Water Dancer.
A strong swimmer, it is capable of swimming non-stop up fast streams at a steady speed of 5 knots. In Crystal, it says, "During spawning season, they swim gracefully in the water, searching for their perfect mate." So Goldine are very romantic. Slowpoke, Dopey, number 79. Oh, you wanted to see that picture, didn't you?
Oh, he's so cute.
Yeah, he's laying on his back, belly up. Great. A sweet sap leaks from its tail's tip. Although not nutritious, the tail is pleasant to chew on.
It lays vacantly near water. If something bites its tail, it won't even notice for a whole day.
In Crystal, it says, "It is always so absent-minded that it won't react even if its flavorful tail is bitten."
But it will react.
Eventually.
Some say it'll take a day, but the anime suggests it only takes like a minute or two. Oddish. Weed. Why is Oddish the weed? Bellsprout's a weed, not Oddish.
No, Bellsprout's a flower.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna look back and see. Number 43. Awakened by moonlight, it roams actively at night. In the day, it stays quietly underground.
Besides, Oddish doesn't look like a flower at all. It's more like a vegetable, like an onion or radish or something.
No, it looks like a flower. It's so cute and pretty.
It is pretty, but it's not a flower.
Bellsprout is a flower.
Haha.
But, like, Bellsprout's just this ugly little plant-eating plant.
If exposed to moonlight, it starts to move. It roams far and wide at night to scatter its seeds. In Crystal, it says, "During the day, it stays in the cold underground to avoid the sun. It grows by bathing in moonlight." Drowsy. Hypnosis. Number 96. It remembers every dream it eats. It rarely eats the dreams of adults because children's are much tastier.
If you think that you had a good dream, but you can't remember it, a drowsy has probably eaten it.
In Crystal, it says, "When it twitches its nose, it can tell where someone is sleeping and what that person is dreaming about."
Abra, Psy, number 63. It senses impending attacks and teleports away to safety before the actual attacks can strike. I was just gonna put it to sleep like it's always asleep. I wasn't gonna hurt it.
If it decides to teleport randomly, it creates the illusion that it has created copies of itself. In Crystal, it says, "It hypnotizes itself so that it can teleport away when it senses danger, even if it is asleep." Theoretically, if it's hypnotizing itself, then it is going to be asleep. Because, well, that's what hypnosis does in the game.
I mean, sure, in the game, but...
Yeah, you can read this one first, too, since it's one of your faves.
Yes! Ditto, transform, number 132. It can transform into anything when it sleeps. It changes into a stone to avoid being attacked.
Its transformation ability is perfect. However, if made to laugh, it can't maintain its disguise. So, just always be funny. In Crystal, it says, "When it encounters another Ditto, it will move faster than normal to duplicate that opponent exactly." Pineco, Bagworm, number 204. It hangs and waits for flying insect prey to come near. It does not move about much on its own.
It likes to make its shell thicker by adding layers of tree bark. The additional weight doesn't bother it.
In Crystal, it says, "It spits out a fluid that it uses to glue tree bark to its body. The fluid hardens when it touches air." So that, like, pineco part, the pine cone looking part of it, is probably not its normal body. It's probably stuck to its body. Execute. Egg, number 102. Using telepathy only they can receive, they always form a cluster of 6 execute.
The shell is very durable. Even if it cracks, it can survive without spilling the contents.
That's really interesting. I mean, because in the pictures, there's always one that's like wide open with some other ones with cracks in it.
Yeah.
In Crystal, it says, if even one is separated from the group, the energy bond between the six will make them rejoin instantly. Unless they get a Togepi in there.
Venonat insect number 48.
Wait. Read those two words again. The first two.
Venonat insect?
Insect. You know, a bug.
Venonat insect number 48. Its eyes also function as radar units. It catches and eats small bugs that hide in darkness.
Poison oozes from all over its body. It catches and eats small bugs at night that are attracted by light. It's really interesting because the last bug, Pineco, which is a bug Pokemon, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I thought it would be like, you know, grass or something.
Right? But that one and the Venonat are bug Pokemon that eat bugs. This is interesting. You are what you eat, I guess. In Crystal, it says, the small bugs it eats appear only at night, so it sleeps in a hole in a tree until night falls. Heracross, single horn, number 214, the earnest Pokemon. Usually docile, but if disturbed while sipping honey, it chases off the intruder with its horn, obsessed with its slow-moving sticky substances.
Yep. This powerful Pokemon thrusts its prize horn under its enemies' bellies, then it lifts and throws them.
In Crystal, it says, with its Herculean powers, it can easily throw around an object that is 100 times its own weight.
More like, with its Herculean powers, it's good at hiding and eating sap. Apom, long tail, number 190. Its tail is so powerful that it can use it to grab a tree branch and hold itself up in the air.
It lives atop tall trees. When leaping from branch to branch, it deftly uses its tail for balance. In Crystal, it says, it uses its tail to hang onto tree branches. It uses its momentum to swing from one branch to another. Snubble, Snubble. Fairy, number 209. Oh, fairy. And it'll eventually become a fairy Pokemon when that becomes a type. It has an active, playful nature. Many women like to frolic with it because of its affectionate ways.
Although it looks frightening, it is actually kind and affectionate. It is very popular among women.
In Crystal, it says, in truth, it is a cowardly Pokemon. It growls eagerly in order to hide its fear from its opponent.
Growlithe, puppy, number 58. It has a brave and trustworthy nature. It fearlessly stands up to bigger and stronger foes.
Extremely loyal, it will fearlessly bark at any opponent to protect its own trainer from harm. In Crystal, it says, it controls a big territory. If it detects an unknown smell, it roars loudly to force out the intruder. Psyduck, duck, number 54. If its chronic headache peaks, it may exhibit odd powers. It seems unable to recall such an episode.
It has mystical powers, but doesn't recall that it has used them. That is why it always looks puzzled.
Oh, that's hilarious that Psyduck doesn't even know that it has these psychic powers.
He's like the strongest Pokemon ever, and he's like, Psy?
Wait, what? Psy? Oh, that's great. In Crystal, it says, the only time it can use its psychic power is when its sleeping brain cells happen to wake, which is why it doesn't seem to remember.
Machop, superpower, number 66. Always brimming with power, it passes time by lifting boulders. Doing so makes it even stronger.
It loves to work out and build its muscles. It is never satisfied, even if it trains hard all day long.
So you should just sit there. When you're bored, just lift boulders, and then you'll be so strong.
Oh, there you go. In Crystal, it says, it trains by lifting rocks in the mountains. It can even pick up a Graveler with ease.
Huh. I'd be more impressed if it could pick up a Golem.
Tentacool, jellyfish, number 72. It drifts aimlessly in waves. Very difficult to see in water. It may not be noticed until it stings.
When the tide goes out, dehydrated tentacle remains can be found washed up on the shore.
Yikes. In Crystal, it says, as it floats along on the waves, it uses its toxic feelers to stab anything it touches.
Krabby.
River crab, number 98. If it senses danger approaching, it cloaks itself with bubbles from its mouth so it will look bigger.
The pincers break off easily. If it loses a pincer, it somehow becomes incapable of walking sideways. In Crystal, it says, if it is unable to find food, it will absorb nutrients by swallowing a mouthful of sand.
Ew.
Cookie, cookie.
I thought it was
That's probably why
cookies.
The cookie sounds so gravelly. Cookie, cookie, cookie. It's all the sand grinding. Fanpee, long nose, number 231. As a sign of affection, it bumps with its snout. However, it is so strong, it may send you flying.
It swings its long snout around playfully, but because it is so strong, that can be dangerous.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, just like attack you. It's like one of our dog's tails.
In Crystal, it says, during the deserted morning hours, it comes ashore where it deftly uses its trunk to take a shower.
And it poops in the sand.
So does the Fampi like to hang out in the water then?
I'm gonna guess so.
But I think Fampi's like a ground weird.
It lives underground, but only underground and water. Because there's a sea level. he just burrows down. That's why he has to take showers every morning. He's
like, obvious. Oh, and I have seen 70 Pokemon now and own 53.
I have seen 70 and I own 54.
That's not true. You have 53 as well.
No, yeah.
Because you got an Igglybuff from Crystal, while I had my Spook, Ghastly, evolve into Hunter Hunter.
Well, you had it evolve because you were fighting all the Pokemon waiting
for... All those Magikarp.
All the Magikarp. Kerp. At least you got a bunch of Magikarp, because those are easier to fight. Mine were harder to fight.
All right. So, Pokemon names. So my Sentret was named Sentry.
Mine was named Centaur.
Centaur. And my Spearow was named Fear.
My Spearow is named Ow.
Ow!
Probably because of the anime when he gets a rock thrown at.
Sure, but also Spearow, O-W.
Oh yeah, it's probably also part of it.
Let's see, so my Abra, female, is named Port.
My Abra is named Urusai, which is annoying in Japanese.
My Ditto is named Putty.
My Ditto is named Copycat.
My Drowsy female is named Dreamy.
Mine is named Creepy, because it's creepy from all the stuff it said. Oh, but it falls asleep right. And then wakes up during the name.
My Pineco male is Koboom.
My male Pineco is... I was having struggles getting a name for it, and it took me a while, and I was like, fine with the name. And so I told it to Daddy, and when he put it in, he accidentally just put P. So my Pineco is P. Pa. Which I think I probably like better than the name, because it was an accident.
Right. My Execute male is named Scramble.
My male Execute is named Cracked.
And my Paris is named Funguy. Funguy.
My Paris is named Pawee.
Alright. And then my Oddish female is Mooney.
My male Oddish is Awesome, spelled O-S-S-U-M.
Because it can potentially evolve into Bellossom.
Bellossom.
Yeah, I went with Mooney just because of the Pokedex entries talking about the moonlight and stuff.
Mm.
Then my Slowpoke is named Plow, and it's a female.
My male Slowpoke is named Bruh.
What's up, Bruh? So now you have to evolve into a Slowbro. My Heracross, also female, is Hera.
My also male Heracross is named Distep, because it's like the name is going to be distracted, but then it's Sep exclamation point.
Because that's what was distracting.
Mm-hmm.
My female Tentacool is named Sting.
My male Tentacool is named Coolio.
Man, we just caught a bunch of, like I caught a bunch of male Pokemon, you caught a bunch of female, and then when we traded.
Yeah.
My female Aipom is Palm.
My male Aipom is Handsy.
Why are you so handsy? My female Poliwag is Spiral.
My female Poliwag is Whirlpool.
My male Krabby is named Cabby. K-A-B-B-Y.
My male Krabby is named Cookie. Cookie, Cookie, Cookie. Spelled K-O-O-K-I-E.
My Growlithe, which I got from Crystal, is Arc, A-R-C.
My Growlithe male is Rar.
My male Fampi is Donnie.
My female Fampi is Donna.
Donnie and Donna. My Snubble male is Bully.
My Snubble female is Boltunia.
Boltunia, Petunia. My Psyduck male is named Duck. But not really, it's Ahiru, which is Japanese for duck.
My female Psyduck is named Psyche, P-S-Y-C-K.
Fun spelling. Actually, duck is one that I learned to remember a long time ago because the thing that I was learning from this said, so just remember that a duck is a hero, a hero. So my duck sticks in my head. All right, and then my Venonat, female, because of its eyes creating kind of a mosaic image, name is Mosaic.
My female Venonat is named Misty.
And then you have an Igglybuff, and what did you name that?
My Igglybuff is named Buffy TVS, which is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Igglybuffy. I like it. All right, and those are our Pokemon that we've got. All right, so with all that taken care of, next week we will be back to the manga and anime, and it's going to be a longer stretch this time. I think there's going to be about 4 episodes of Routes Through Pokemon Adventures, because we'll have 1 chapter of the manga and a bunch of episodes, another chapter of the manga and a bunch of episodes, and then it's the 3rd Pokemon movie.
Woohoo!
Well, then I think it'll be a couple chapters and a couple more, like 4 more episodes of the anime, because that will take us to Goldenrod City and in the anime. But also, those 2 episodes that take us to the gym in Goldenrod are the beginning of the next season. So we'll be crossing seasons over. So Johto Journeys will be done, and we'll be in a new one.
Cool. Oh, yeah. I feel like we've barely begun Johto, and now we're already switching seasons.
Well, I mean, we'll still be in Johto, because we'll be in Johto for 3 seasons.
Oh, yeah. See, there's so many seasons. That's why they have to be short.
Yeah. Well, they're not even that short, technically. There's still more than 20-some episodes. That's 20, like, we've done 25 already.
How much TV are we watching?
A lot. Yeah, I want to say they're in, like, the 50s or something of episodes for each season.
We are watching too much TV.
It's been fun.
That's not true.
All right. But now, I think it's time for Pokemon cards!
Woohoo!
So we are doing Scarlet and Violet, Stellar Crown, and we both have the Crystal Turtle guy. I forget what his name is.
The weird one.
Alright. I know Rosella went first last time, so I have no idea where we're at.
Well, I went second, so you should probably go first.
Alright, I'll go first. Alright, I have Meltan. Steel type. It dissolves and eats metal. Circulating liquid metal within its body is how it generates energy. Fletchender. Evolves from Fletchling. Colorless. Its territory has a radius of just over a mile. If any bird Pokemon should enter, it will show them no mercy. Finian, water. It absorbs sunlight with the pink areas of its skin, which then shine. This appears to be a form of camouflage. Tauros, colorless. A rowdy Pokemon with a lot of stamina. Once running, it won't stop until it hits something.
Okay.
Swalot, evolves from Gulpin. Dark type. It can swallow a tire whole in one gulp. It secretes a horribly toxic fluid from the pores on its body. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It's kind of a cool picture, too. Mewtwo, psychic.
Ooh.
It's only an uncommon, too.
Seriously?
Yeah. A Pokemon created by recombining Mew's genes. It's said to have the most savage heart among Pokemon. Ooh. Pangoro evolves from Pancham. Dark type. This Pokemon is quick to anger, and it has no problem using its prodigious strength to get its way. It lives for duels against Obstagoon. Oh, the same Tauros I got earlier, but reverse holo. And a reverse holo Chewtle, water type. A popular game among children is to lift up sticks that Chewtle have bitten onto to see whose Chewtle can hang on the longest. Terrapagos EX. That's the turtle thing on the thing that we had. Terrapagos.
That's cool.
That has no information about what it is or anything, so. But it's a really pretty card.
Oh, that is so cool.
And it's colorless. But it has a move that needs grass, water, and lightning.
It's colorless, yet the picture is very, very colorful.
True. And then a fighting energy.
All right. I got Mindfu, fighting type. They seclude themselves in the mountains and devote themselves to training. The form of their kicks and chops differ from pack to pack. Mo Rototome, grass type. He's like a mower. It's funny.
Oh, Mo Rototome. Okay.
This Rotom has possessed a lawnmower. It will mow down grass and flowers, then swagger around with pride at its accomplishments. Score Bunny, fire type. Fire energy gather in the pads of its feet, raising their temperature. Once hot, Score Bunny's foot pads can deal heavy damage to opponent. Antique cover fossil item. Evolves from Trituga.
Tortuga.
Tortuga. It has 60 HP. Play this card as if it were a 60 HP basic colorless Pokemon. This card can't be affected by any special conditions and can retreat at any time during your turn. You may discard this card from play. Ability, Protective Cover. Prevent all effects of attacks used by your opponent's Pokemon done to this Pokemon.
Can I see that quick?
Damage is not an effect.
Weird.
Yeah. And it evolves.
Yeah.
Lacey, Trainer Card. Supporter Trainer. Shuffle your hand into your deck, then draw four cards. If your opponent has three or fewer prize cards remaining, draw eight cards instead. Ooh, Marowak evolves from Cubone, fighting type.
I like Marowak.
This Pokemon overcame its sorrow to evolve a sturdy new body. Marowak faces its opponents bravely using a bone as a weapon. Okaberry, Pokemon Tool, Trainer. If the Pokemon this card is attached to is damaged by an attack from your opponent's fire Pokemon, it takes 60 less damage after applying weakness and resistance and discard this card. Ooh, reverse holo Drifloon, psychic. Because of the way it floats aimlessly, an old folktale calls it a signpost for wandering spirits.
Hmm.
A reverse holo Pawmy. Cute.
That is cute.
Electric. The pads of its paws are electrically discharging organs. Pawmy fires electricity from its forepaws while standing unsteadily on its hind legs. My rare is Grimmsnarl, evolves from Morgurn. It's stage two, so Morgurn evolves from something. Dark type. It lives deep within the forest. Even after evolving into its splendid form, it hasn't given up on its prey, on its petty misdeeds and pranks. Then, metal energy.
Nice. Well, that's cool. All right, and that wraps up our episode. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. We are on YouTube at Hunterfield Institute. We are on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other various podcast areas. So go ahead and like, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you can. Leave comments if you would like. And if you really want to get a hold of us with some suggestions for our tally names or corrections to things we got wrong, or tell us that we were fools for teaching our starters cut, go ahead and email us at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook group, Routes Through Pokemon, and I'm also on X at hunterfieldins, and on Instagram at kinetic_card. So you can always connect with us there as well. Thank you very much for listening to our show, and we will catch you on the next route.
Bye! Bye.
Halloween Special, Part 1. Fallen Leaves. A cold wind swirled through trees full of multicolored leaves and collected a variety that it then carried down toward the route below. The wind found a woman standing along the path, and it rushed through her and around her legs and through her jacket, trying to bring a chill down her back, but she did not react. And so, the wind rushed back down, causing the leaves to shoot forward in the direction it traveled, entering into a small town with a tall, ominous tower reaching high above all other buildings around it.
I've returned, my darling.
Moving by an old and worn sign that read, Lavender Town, the woman crossed the threshold of the shaded village. It was often dark in Lavender Town due to the mountains on two sides, but in the fall, and with all that cloud cover, it was even darker than usual. One might even think that it was already late evening instead of early afternoon. Two children were playing nearby, a brother and sister, as the woman moved in the direction of the tower. When the kids spotted the woman, they dropped what they were doing and rushed over.
"Hi!"
chirped the little girl. The boy stood silently next to her.
"Hello,"
the woman greeted in return and giving a small bow of her head. But then she stopped short as her eyes fixed onto the young girl's face.
"Lila?"
"What?"
The boy noticed the strange way the woman was looking at his playmate. Tears began to form in the woman's eyes as she reached out for the girl. There was no time to get away, and the girl was drawn into a tight hug.
"Oh, Lila, I've missed you so much!"
The boy raised his eyebrow so high it was about to drop off the back of his head.
"Lila? Her name is not Lila. It's Tilly."
Not listening, the woman continued to hold the girl, whispering the name Lila over and over and kissing the top of her head.
"Can you please stop now?"
The girl pushed herself away from the woman and then tried to straighten out her hair.
"I'm so sorry, sweetheart. It's just I thought. And it had been so long. It's so good to see you again."
The girl tilted her head to one side, squinted one eye shut, and stuck out her tongue as she tried to figure something out. Eventually, she gave up and shook her head.
"Nope, I don't recognize you. Who are you?"
"What do you mean, who am I? It's me, Lila. It's your mother."
Both the boy and the girl slowly turned to look at each other and just stared as if they were trying to communicate through thought alone. Then they turned and looked at her again.
My name is Tilly, and this is my twin brother, Gus."
Suddenly, the woman could see it. The two looked so much alike. The same large eyes, they smiled alike, and both had more roundish heads while Lila's was a bit longer. That girl wasn't her daughter after all. She had simply wished it was. But, of course, that would have been impossible.
"Are you okay, miss?"
the boy asked. Looking up, the woman wiped tears from her eyes and nodded.
"Yes. Yes, I am. Or I will be. I'm so sorry. I must have given you a terrible fright."
Both children shrugged.
"It's fine,"
the boy said.
"We weren't too worried."
Then the girl chimed in.
"Who is Lila?"
The woman smiled sadly.
"My daughter. But she died a while ago."
"Oh, I'm sorry. How long has it been?"
Opening her mouth to answer, the woman stopped suddenly as she realized she couldn't remember. How long ago had it been?
It's been a while."
The girl nodded sagely.
"Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just wondering because I'm only 6. What's your name?"
Blinking as she shifted from trying to remember something to Till's new question, the woman shook her head.
"My name? I'm Meg."
There was an awkward silence that followed, and they all stood there for a minute until finally the girl chimed in again.
"Hey, you want to play with us?"
The boy looked at his sister with an expression that said,
"What are you doing? Are you crazy?"
Catching that look and realizing how weird she had probably seemed, Meg smiled a little and waved off the request.
No, I should
Oh, come on, please!"
The girl folded her hands together and begged.
"Gus won't push me on the swings, and I love to swing so much."
Meg hesitated, but was about to shake her head and decline again. But then Tilly, sensing this, dropped to her knees and pleaded some more.
"Oh, all right. Yay!"
Tilly and Meg went over to the nearby playground the children had been playing at before. Gus begrudgingly followed along. Meg pushed the girl first and, eventually, her brother on the swings for a while. The two would run around and goof off as children often do. And the already dark town grew a little darker. Noticing the lateness, the woman's motherly instincts took over, and she ushered the children out of the playground.
"All right, you two should really be getting home, and I need to go visit my daughter."
"But you said your daughter died,"
Gus said, eyeing the woman suspiciously.
"Yes, I did. I'm visiting her tombstone."
"Where is that?"
Tilly asked. Meg nodded over toward the tower.
"In there."
"Your daughter can't be buried in there. Only Pokemon get buried in the tower."
The woman frowned.
"Look, it really is getting late. Where is your mom? Do you need me to walk you home?"
"We don't have a mom,"
Gus corrected.
Sorry, your dad then?
Don't have one of those either,
Tilly said. The woman looked at the pair, confused at first, and then a little frightened. It was probably just a trick of the shadows, but, well, they didn't look quite the same anymore.
Well, then where do you live?
The children giggled, but didn't answer. Instead, they clasped hands and ran off, still giggling. Had the chill gust of wind still lingered nearby, it would have been pleased. Meg wasn't sure it was worse being alone in that creepy town, or having those children still giggling beside her with that unnatural presence.
Pull yourself together, Meg,
the woman said to herself. She glanced back over to the playground, and she felt all life rush from her. She couldn't breathe as she stared at the rusted and charred remains of what had once been a playground, but had burned to the ground a long time ago. Truly frightened, Meg rushed over to the tower, wanting more than anything to get somewhere that wasn't out in the dark. Somewhere she could feel safe. It was probably just her imagination, but she thought she heard giggles in the shadows she passed, and sometimes she thought she saw the faces of Gus or Tilly, but strangely distorted. The door slammed shut behind Meg as she panted inside. The few there seemed to give no mind to her except one elderly-looking priestess. She approached Meg and asked,
Is there a lost one I can help you find?
To be continued.